Some of you heard on Monday, our son Kerry was admitted to a hospital in Nicaragua, and he subsequently was out, and now he's back in again, and we'll find out a little bit more today, but we appreciate your prayers for him. He's got a virus called dengue fever, and it's just a very uncomfortable and challenging illness for him. So the good thing, there are a lot of good things in it. We've seen God's hand surrounding him. I got a call this morning from Wanda Myers, and she said, we know some people at the hospital. I know the administrator of the hospital, and he happens to be one of the best hospitals in Central America. So we're encouraged by all that, but since a number of you have asked, I just thought I would give you that information. I thank my God all the time. Whenever I think of you, I always give thanks because of you. Those were Paul's words when he thought about the people in Philippi. He said, I always think of you with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. When I read those words in Philippians chapter 1, I have found myself wondering, was Paul really as excited about this group, this church in Philippi, as he sounds? Every time I bow to pray, I give thanks for you. Well, one of the reasons I wondered that is if you read through the book of Acts, you discover that Paul's time in the book of Acts, his time in Philippi, according to Luke, as he writes the history in the book of Acts, he said that Paul and his companions went to Philippi, and they stayed there for several days. Now, several days could maybe mean several weeks. It's possible that Paul was in Philippi maybe a month or two, but can you build a relationship with someone in a month's time that causes you to stop, and when you bow to pray for them, every time you think of them, you give thanks for them? Well, that was one of my questions as I picked up this passage, because I really thought this was a great passage that talks a little bit about partnership of the gospel and thanksgiving, and kind of pulls together what we've been doing with where we are. And little did I know, the more I looked at this passage, the more it really showed me some things about Paul's ministry in Philippi. I don't think Paul was exaggerating when he said he was so thankful for those people. There were a couple reasons for that. I discovered that many scholars believe that Paul's associate Luke, the person who's writing the account in Acts, that Philippi may well have been Luke's hometown. So even though Paul hadn't been there a long time, maybe just because it was Luke's hometown, that made it all the more special. More importantly, is if you have the time to look at the account in Acts chapter 16, you discover that God did some amazing things in the short time that Paul was in Philippi. Paul was first introduced to the Philippian people through a woman by the name of Lydia. She was a businesswoman. And she was so moved by Paul's message that she not only believed the good news that Paul was teaching and preaching, but she said, Paul, you just got to come home, and you and your companions, as long as you're in Philippi, you stay in my house. And as far as we know, it may well have been Lydia's house that housed the church in Philippi. A little bit later on in the same chapter, you discover that Paul gets into jail, not because of anything he did wrong, but because of false statements made about him. And there's an amazing miracle that takes place. An earthquake just shakes open the jail. And the jailer that was keeping watch over Silas and Paul, he realized, as a Roman jailer, he was responsible for his prisoners. And when he realized that the jail cells had all been wrenched open by this earthquake, he was ready to take his life, because he knew, you let a prisoner escape as a Roman soldier, your life is forfeit. But Paul says, no, don't don't do anything. We're all here. And the whole night prior to that, Paul and Silas had been singing songs of praise, just like we've been singing. And so this jailer knew something special was going on. And when Paul showed up with all the prisoners, none of them had escaped, the response of this jailer says he fell trembling at Paul's feet, and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" So when Paul thought about the Philippians, he didn't think about them like you and I tend to think about them, like nameless people who we can't quite picture. No, for Paul, when he thought of the Philippians, he thought about Lydia and her kind and gracious hospitality, and how she would just say, "Paul, you just make yourself at home, and the refrigerator's yours, and whatever you want, you're always welcome here in my home. You are family when you're here." And when he thought about the jailer, I don't know whether what this jailer's name was, but to Paul, he certainly had a name. And he knew that he was welcomed by that jailer. So for Paul, his prayer of praise at the beginning of the book of Philippians is not a prayer about nameless, faithless people. It's about people who had touched his life. Not only had the Philippians impacted Paul, or touched Paul's heart, but obviously because of what Paul had done, he had touched their hearts. In fact, I think another reason why Paul would have said, "I thank God in every remembrance on you, and my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy for you." If you read through the book of Philippians, you discover that Philippians is in some ways a long thank you note. Because when Paul thanks them for their partnership in the gospel, when you get to the end of the letter in chapter 4, you discover that Paul thanks them specifically because they had supported him financially in his missionary travels. And Paul makes it clear as you read through the letter that he writes them from house arrest in Rome. He was there for some 2 years. And the Philippian people, these people that were dear to his heart, cared so much about him that they sent financial gifts by a fellow by the name of Epaphroditus to make sure that Paul's needs were met. So these people didn't just have a history with Paul, they had a current involvement with Paul. So when he thought about them, he didn't just think back to the awesome experience of how that church began. He thought about how they shared with him in his ministry and how they partnered with him through their financial sacrifices. So for Paul, yeah, he was only in Philippi, maybe at most a few months. But that wasn't the end of the relationship. That was just the beginning of the relationship. And so whenever he stopped to think about these people, he realized they're special folks. They partnered with me in ministry, and they support me. In fact, if you have your Bibles, let me have you look at actually 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Because I think when Paul writes about to the Corinthians about these exemplary people in Macedonia, he may well have been writing about the Philippians. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul encourages the Corinthians in their giving, and he says this: "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." And Philippi was in the middle of Macedonia. "Out of their most severe trial, their overflowing joy, and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part." Paul uses the example of most likely the Philippians to encourage the Corinthians in their giving. Because Paul knew these were people who didn't just say they cared about Paul. They showed it in rich generosity. So for Paul, he wasn't there very long, but when he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you," every time I bow to pray and I think about you, a smile comes to my face. And he meant it because of who these people were. Well, as I thought about this and thought about our service today, I found it interesting, too, if you read the history in Acts chapter 16, that as far as I can tell, in Acts 16, we have more accounts, or there are two accounts of baptisms in that chapter. And I don't think there's another chapter that tells of baptisms like that chapter does. So as Paul thought about these people, he thought about the baptism of Lydia. And apparently when he shared the good news with Lydia, not only Lydia, but her whole family believed and they were baptized. And the same thing was true with this Philippian jailer. So as Paul reflected on all of that, their partnership in ministry, the work that God had done in their lives, he couldn't help but be thankful. And I thought about that with regard to this church family. And I think about this family, and you are family to us. As we share and ask for your prayers, even for our son, you have partnered with us in ministry for over 13 years. And I've seen God do some wonderful and encouraging things through you. Any of you who've been here longer than a year or two have heard the stories, but the very first Sunday I came was almost 14 years ago. It was the first Sunday in December. And I was filling the pulpit, and there were buckets all over the sanctuary because it was a rainy day and the roof was falling apart. And the back of the church was unfinished. There were no bathrooms in this church. For those of you that have been here just a few years, we had to go across the way to the parsonage. It was not the most pleasant situation. And I had to come alone that Sunday. And I've told a number of you this story, but because I came alone, I went back, and Sue was with the boys back in New Jersey where we were living. And she said, "Well, what do you think of the church?" And I said, "Well, it's a wonderful church family, but we'll never want to go there." The circumstances of the church just seemed overwhelming to me. But from the very beginning, the church family reached out and encouraged and challenged and affirmed us and affirmed me personally. And I knew something what Paul had to say of thanking God for people who'd made a big difference. And you've been partners in ministry. As we went forward from the time I first started, we began a project to first repair the roof. And then, that just seemed overwhelming. It seems so long ago now. But then we started on the back. And you gave sacrificially to make sure those things happened. We had three different challenges to the congregation. One to raise money for the roof, one to raise money for bathrooms, and then one to raise money for the fellowship hall and kitchen. And each time we did that, I thought, how are we ever going to do this? But each time, God worked through you guys and blessed the whole church, but blessed me as pastor because of your partnership in ministry. And now we're at a new stage where the building is largely completed. There's some other things we need to do, but not major things. Now we're at the place of trying to expand ministry, to try to do more, to share the gospel more, to reach more people. And we still need to be partners in ministry. And I'm still very encouraged to be partnered with each of you because I know your hearts. I know that you want to share God's love and hope just as I do. So I thank God when I think of you for your partnership. And I thank God for the people who've been baptized in this church. Obviously, I am thankful for Lindsay and for Emma. I alluded to it before the baptism, but I was telling Emma before we met this week to talk about her getting baptized. And it was probably 7 years or so ago, we had a pastor's class where I sat down with some of the teenagers and talked to them about baptism, among other things. And to the best of my knowledge, Emma's the first of those teenagers to ever get baptized out of that class. I think God continues to be at work in the lives of our children. And Emma, you're not my daughter, but you're like my daughter, and it's really an honor to baptize you. And Lindsay, I was thinking about this. I have had the privilege of marrying and now burying you. But fortunately, it was a good burial in baptism. And I'm honored that you made a commitment publicly to just make your own decision to stand up for God. And as I thought about this this church, there have been a number of people. I mean, if my memory was good enough, I probably could think of something special about each of the baptisms that I've done. But I thought about, let me mention a couple. Those of you who've been here as long as I have may remember Dorothy Henshaw. Dorothy was in her 80s, and she became convinced that she needed to get baptized. And so Dorothy climbed into this baptistry and got baptized at like 83, 86 years old. I'll never forget that. I couldn't believe that someone would be so committed to doing what she thought God wanted them to do. And as Jacques had his video, Jacques and Aaron Velez are two people whose baptisms stand out to me. Not because there was anything unique about the actual baptism, but because when they both came through the door of this church, I thought, they're a lost cause. But not for God. And to see what God has done in their lives and is doing in their lives, it gives me great joy. As I think about our church family, I can understand exactly how Paul must have felt. I thank God every time I remember you. In my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. And it is my prayer for each of you and for Lindsay and for Emma that God will carry on that work that he's begun in you until the day of Christ Jesus. There is reason to praise God and to give him thanks for the people at First Baptist Church and what he's doing in your lives. And I thank you that I have the privilege to serve as your pastor. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, I thank you that you've given me the stage for the longest testimony here. That I'm not just talking, I'm sharing from my heart about the goodness of being part of this family. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us, and that you would, the things that you have started here would just be the beginnings of the spread of your kingdom through us. Lord, we praise you for your goodness. We thank you for your gifts. We thank you for your abundance. In Jesus' name, amen. I asked on a more personal note, I asked Beryl Lloyd if she would share a testimony of thanks. I didn't have all of you prepare testimonies of thanks, but I wanted to have at least one or two people do that. And Beryl, as some of you know, she's in our small group, and she's going to be moving back to Great Britain pretty soon. And so selfishly, I kind of wanted to give her an opportunity to get up and share about what she's thankful for. So Beryl, would you come?
Thanks. Thanks, Tori. I need to introduce myself because not everyone is aware of who I am. I was born in England. Not the Bronx, in case you think I'm from the Bronx. I was born in England, and in 1967, we left the UK. That's 40-something years ago. And we've lived on 4 continents and in many countries. And for the first few years of traveling with my husband and children, I had no church roots. I had no fellowship. And when we lived in South Africa, I recommitted my life to the Lord. And from that stage on, the traveling was amazing. Each time I have to say goodbye, it's very difficult. It never gets any easier to say goodbye. But God has provided partners, friends in the gospel, everywhere we've been transferred to. I give thanks for Margaret in Holland and all my prayer partners. I give thanks for Nicole in France and all the women's fellowship that I was participating with. I give thanks for Ingbert and Marie and Jenny in South Africa. I thank God that when I was taken for an emergency surgery in Cape Town, there were so many people from my church fellowship that just happened to be on business trips the 2 weeks that I was having treatment in Cape Town. I give thanks for Muling and the church in Malaysia. They prayed with me and they laughed with me. They chided me from time to time, but I give thanks for all I learnt in that situation. I give thanks for Cherry and Martha in China and for the opportunity to meet many local Chinese people who confess Jesus Christ to be their Savior and just have kept in touch with me over the years. I give thanks for Sunny, who was part of our congregation. She allowed me into her life. She trusted me. And that is such a privilege. I give thanks that God has always been there, that He's protected me, that He's provided for me, and that He's always, always provided me with prayer partners, with people that will study the scriptures with me, that will help me grow in my faith. I give thanks for the seminary at NIAC that I've been absolutely privileged to attend for 2.5 years, and for the professors and for the fellow students. I give thanks for each and every one of you that have touched my heart. So many of you have. But I want to thank God for Mary Smith. She has been such a dear friend. We've laughed together. We've cried together. We've had our little emergencies, but she's been like a mother and a sister and a friend all rolled into one. And I just give thanks for Mary.
We will give you an opportunity to share briefly, but we want to take a Thanksgiving offering. And we're talking about giving thanks, and one way to do it is to do it with our voices. Another way to do it very tangibly is with our gifts. And so as the ushers come, let me give thanks for God's good gifts to us. You guys may need to... Let's pray. Lord, there are so many things to thank you for. People you've brought into our lives. The common blessings that are part of our lives every day. But above everything else is the fact that you loved us. That you sought us out as sinful people and made us your children. And Lord, if you've done that for us, we know there's nothing that you won't do for us. So we give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.